cover all this.
Alex Jones, the cure to fake news. Coming to you live from Austin, Texas.
Well, I take absolutely no pleasure in saying once again, see, I told you so. Wow. We are 2 seconds from midnight. We are one tip of the pinky. We're about 5 millimeters away from massive nuclear strikes on North Korea. Because if you're going to hit that militarized state with all its nuclear weapons and missiles and 100,000 pieces of artillery bearing down, aiming there at South Korea and their ICBMs pointed at the United States and more, if you're going to preemptively stop them when they're saying, we've got missiles aimed at you, we're going to attack you, we're going to come after you, we're going to annihilate you, under international law, under common law, under common sense, under basic brain cells, if somebody loads a gun in front of you, test fires it into a wall, then starts shooting it at your feet and saying, I'm going to reload and blow your head off, or I'm going to shoot you right in the heart, or I'm going to shoot you up between the legs. At that point, you'd have to be crazy not to take action. Yeah, look at the headlines on Drudge Report. We'll punch him up. Kim Powell, North Korea's sixth and most powerful nuke test of a hydrogen bomb, and the experts, the nuclear physicists, engineers, and seismologists say it appears to be just what they said, a powerful hydrogen thermonuclear detonation. A perfect success, they're calling it. Yes, they're being given the technology from Pakistan and others. North Korea claims test of hydrogen bomb for long-range missile a success, and now they claim they've got the casing to load it on the tip of the ICBM. Now, a few weeks ago, they said they were going to fire missiles at Guam, and Trump said, go ahead and do that, and we're going to have to preemptively strike you. Now, here's what's so concerning, in a bad way and a good way. China and Russia are going, okay, we totally condemn them. You're right. We may have to do something. North Korea, you're really asking for it. We're not going to do anything if you strike North Korea, but we really don't want you to. So they've gone from a posture of you better not do it, we might do something, to absolutely being hands-off, backing away. Because the North Korean dictator is out of his mind. Mattis, this just came out 30 minutes ago. It's on Infowars.com, Newswars.com. PrisonPlanet.com right now. Mattis, massive, that's the Secretary of Defense, massive, this is a quote, massive military response if North Korea threatens U.S. or its allies, which it's constantly doing. And he's been the guy, not saber-rattling, he's been the guy trying to de-escalate things, and now he's saying, okay, I mean, just last week they said, let's go to the table, North Korea, what do you want? And they said, what do we want? We have a demonic vampiric chipmunk who can't even hardly walk, who was given hereditary power over a bunch of slaves with a bunch of megalomaniacs around him, and he thinks he's God. His dad died a few years ago. He's all creeping around, all scared at first. Looks like a little kid. Kills a few family members, kills his brother, kills some girlfriends. The little psychopath comes out, and all the other psychopaths in the North Korean regime go, ah! He's like, yes, I'm here. Ah, it's the clown's here for real. Hit the clown with nuclear weapons. So whatever dark force has crawled into him, it's in control. Looks like a big, fat, demon-possessed chipmunk to me. So here we go. China strongly condemns North Korean nuclear test, foreign ministry. North Korea nuclear bomb test. South may deploy most powerful U.S. tactical weapons in response. That's nuclear weapons. They've already tested dropping them last week. Earthquake at North Korea's nuclear test site following hydrogen bomb announcement. North Korea releases photos reported thermonuclear weapon. With the chipmunk looking at it. Trump and North Korea's moon pledge more pressure on North Korea. Trump to meet security advisors already happened. North Korea shaken by strong tremors and likely nuclear test. On and on. Russia evacuates their east. Says that we're on the verge of massive war. The big question is, will Russia and China stay out of it? Let's talk about it straight ahead.
Thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever. but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And the colors of the sea find your eyes with...
All right, I was planning to host this Sunday's live radio slash TV broadcast from here in deep in the heart of Texas, Austin. I was planning to get into very, very positive things happening with the economy, positive things happening with humanity coming together, with the tragedy of Hurricane Harvey. I was planning to get into some of the more serious issues of Congress about to vote to turn the roads over to driverless cars and what the ramifications of that were going to be. Huge new Comey developments as well. Turns out he'd already cleared the Clintons secretly when he did the fake interviews with them last year. So huge scandal. Comey, Mueller, I mean, they couldn't investigate a stick of bubble gum being stolen. They are some of the most ruthless, mafioso, Clinton crime family dirtbags imaginable. That's coming up. The EU Commission admits they're trying to open the borders to end white Europe. Just bizarre globalist obsession with ending any sovereign nations and overriding any culture. Largest wildlife wildfire in Los Angeles history forces hundreds to evacuate. We're also going to get into, as I was mentioning earlier, massive censorship via the AI systems. Putin says leader in artificial intelligence will rule the world. And now even mainstream news admits criticizing Google will get you banned, including major news publications like Forbes have been threatened not to criticize Google or get banned. So the season of censorship is certainly here. But first, let's get into North Korea. The big question is, will Russia and will China stand down if the United States strikes North Korea? Because a lot of folks say, oh, we can take out North Korea, no problem. Yes, that's true. If we're willing to hit them extremely hard up front. I've studied this in depth. I've had the top experts on, and it's crystal clear what we're facing. But the number one issue is, will China and will Russia stand down if the United States preemptively strikes North Korea that is openly threatening its neighbors and the world and successfully tested a thermal nuclear hydrogen bomb, the seismographs conclusively show that indeed they do not just have atomic weapons, but now weapons many times stronger. That's number one. Number two, if the United States strikes and Russia and China do not intervene, how strong will the U.S. strike be? Because they've got a 1 million-person regular army, a 5 million-person auxiliary army, a brainwashed cult, basically, of communist fire ants that are willing and ready to die in human wave attacks. That was documented back in the Korean War back in the early 1950s. That still never concluded. We're in a ceasefire. Will there be a total commitment? And I've studied this, and I've had experts on, they've concurred with my own historical research, that you can't beat North Korea with conventional weapons and not have Seoul, South Korea, overrun and destroyed, not just by artillery 30 miles away in the DMZ, the militarized zone to the north that marks the demarcation line between the two nations, split by the armistice in 1953. They're going to be able, with rocket attacks and heavy artillery attacks going in and out of tunnels, to lay waste to much of South Korea, killing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. They've got nerve gas. They've got nuclear weapons. They've got short-range, medium-range, long-range missiles, ICBMs, all thanks to the Clintons and the globalists and their appeasement in the mid-1990s, which is incontrovertible and not debatable. So number one, will Russia and China stand down? That's the big question, because if they don't, then they'll respond, will respond, it'll escalate to nuclear weapons very quickly, and then all of a sudden the silos and submarines and jets and bombers release their cruise missiles, and it's off to the races. And then within about an hour of that happening, most human life on Earth and most other life on Earth is going to be living in a radioactive slag heap. And if you ain't dead, you'll wish you're dead real quick. So, number one, will China and Russia stand down? Many indications are they're beginning to realize the U.S. is serious. This isn't the same old game. This has come to a head. And that they need to signal that they're going to stand down. They've signaled they're going to stand down. I'll go over those articles. Does that mean they will? Remains to be seen. Let's stop right there. Go to number two. Let's say they stand down. Next big problem. We just addressed it. Will Trump hit them with the weapons it takes to destroy their main military force that is on the DMZ? The DMZ. You'll have to, depending on the type of weapons that are going to be used, tactical nuclear weapons, drop dozens, if not hundreds, if they're smaller, along those lines to cave in all those tunnels and wipe out the foaming at the mouth, bloodthirsty, crazed Stalinist state. You'll have to hit the major cities, command and control. You're not going to have time to sit there and drop, or do we have the forces, 5,000, 2,000, 10,000 pound bombs on top of those command and controls. You're going to have to hit them all with tactical nuclear weapons, cruise missile, submarine launched, and dropped by fighter bombers and bombers. You're going to have to hit them in the first 5 minutes with hundreds of nuclear weapons. This is what war against a nuclear power looks like. You have to kill, decapitate their entire military in a matter of minutes to ensure complete destruction. They have suicide subs off their coast that are going to conventionally attack Japan and South Korea and other areas. Here's the problem. In a few months, a few years max, they're already going to have Polaris-copied, sea-launched missiles and cruise missiles, which they already have developed. That's why this is a problem. We truly have a maniac like Hitler, but quite frankly, even stupider, who thinks he can actually run around and bluster with everybody. And it's all coming to a head. Japan's not going to put up with it. South Korea is not going to put up with it. And what triggered this? They kicked out their hardline leader in South Korea with dug-up, made-up scandals, like they're trying to do with Trump. And they put in a softie who wanted to appease the North and work on unification. Didn't that blow up in just 3 months? Really nice. Oh, let us appease you. Let us work with you. Just like all the other appeasement did, it's now blown up in South Korea's face. And the appeaser says, okay, we're ready for nuclear war. The word is China and Russia have signaled in the last few months that if it's not nuclear, they won't get involved. Well, they know that is something 100 times worse than Afghanistan and something that'll destroy the South and something that we basically will probably lose unless we're willing to lose hundreds of thousands of U.S. soldiers. I mean, this will be a big war. This will be a war against a bunch of brainwashed cult members. And the word is from all my sources is, and I told you this a week ago before it was on the news last week, they're preparing nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons to be dropped from fighter bombers, bombers, and cruise missiles in a preemptive strike to take out the DMZ while simultaneously the capital is hit as well. And their ports, and we've got submarines and submarine hunters, and everything has to be targeted. You have to be ready, and you have to hit them while they're still sitting ducks, not once they're in a combat mode. So there you go. If we don't hit them first, who knows what will happen? It'll just continue getting worse with the mental illness and the megalomania. There is no good choice. If you hit them conventionally, they're not going to back off. They're not going to sue for peace. They're going to attack with everything they've got, Japan and South Korea, and have a bunch of people run to the north as refugees that are already trying to get out. It's going to be a giant quagmire. If you hit them with total commitment, you will defeat the communist regime, you'll kill probably a million people, and then you can try to reunify and deprogram the population. If China and Russia stand down, if China and Russia don't stand down, we go into total worldwide thermal nuclear World War III. This is much worse than the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it's been on the back burner, moving steadily forward for decades, and now here it is, strategy of tension, strategy of patience, on a platter, New World Order is giving this to you, and Mattis says massive military response if they continue even verbal threats.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
The war was lost. The treaty signed. I was not cut across the line. I was not cut, though many tried.
All right, we have covered the North Korea situation. I intend to open the phones up towards the end of the hour, right through into the second hour, covering this issue of North Korea. But at a gut level, at an intellectual level, at a parental level, at a spiritual level, as an investigative level, at every level of my human repertoire, at every level of my human gifts that God has given me, I know this North Korea thing is on the edge of all-out war. And I've talked to my high-level sources. I've told you they're doing nuclear attack drills, decapitation drills, space-based attack drills, you name it. And now it's admitted. This is real. CENTCOM and SOUTHCOM and NORTHCOM and Space Command, they're all ready. They're all locked and loaded. It's no game. It's no joke. The designates for the backup government in the last month have been in their bunkers. That hasn't happened except in drills since 1961 with the Cuban Missile Crisis. There was one other case in the 80s when they went to one of the highest death cons, and Alexander Haig, when Reagan had been shot, said, "I'm in command," and all the rest of it. But that was because the president had been shot, which, as Colonel Schaefer pointed out last week, very, very dangerous for the globalists to even be trying to talk about killing Trump or having Phil Mudd of the CIA saying we're going to kill him in the next 2 months. That was a month ago. It's just a crazy time to be alive. And then separately, I know inside baseball. And here's the big news. I know inside baseball about Donald Trump from folks that have known him for decades. And I know he's won NAACP awards. I know that he's gotten awards from, you know, liberal organizations for his hiring of gay people and putting them in management positions. And so the Trump we hear about from MSNBC and CNN is a false Trump. No matter how he decries David Duke, no matter how he calls for unity, they say he's an evil person that endorses white supremacists because he said Antifa is bad too, running around attacking people, spitting on people, beating people. Well, now even Nancy Pelosi and the FBI have come out and said it's a terrorist organization. First, they said it was a criminal organization last week. It's now in the Associated Press. They're calling it a group that commits terror acts. So, the media is in a war against reality, trying to block this out. That Trump really is trying to unify America. Now, there's Newsweek. Is Antifa terrorist? The feds have reportedly classified their activities as domestic terrorist violence. That's out in Newsweek today. What have you as listeners been calling for months? To list them as a terror group, going out trying to violate free speech, trying to intimidate people, carrying out violence for their political demands. That's the definition of terrorism, is going out and threatening violence or carrying out violence to further your political or economic aim. That's the Merriam-Webster definition of terrorism. Now the left suddenly calling them left-wing militias. So they've gone from trying to sell them as their new revolution just a few weeks ago and saying Trump was insane to say they're dangerous and bad to now saying, okay, they are bad, because the independent media, that's you, not just me, not just Mark Dice, not just Paul Watson, not just Mike Cernovich, not just Matt Drudge, that's you. Matt Drudge always says you're just as important as the New York Times, as a blogger, as a poster, as somebody that videotapes something, because you're the eyes and ears on the ground. And because you showed Antifa beating people up and spitting on people and attacking prayer vigils and throwing feces on folks, because you exposed them, they have been destroyed. And when we come back into the next segment, I'm going to play a video piece that's on InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com that I've tweeted out at Real Alex Jones, and that's also on our main Facebook, titled, "This Viral Video could save America. Now, I want to explain something. We have four videos this week that each one of them has over 10 million views. One of them has 10 million on Facebook, and I spent like 15 minutes the other day looking at it on other YouTubes and other Facebooks. It had 14 million views as of Friday afternoon. That's Owen Schroyer in Austin when Trump came to town the first time last week. An unedited, raw, 20-minute video of black people being screamed at by white liberals calling them racist names. It just shows the frothing mental illness, not just of Antifa, but of the mainline left. These are people that literally believe they're Captain America fighting Hydra, fighting the Nazis, and they are the most ignorant, uneducated, and I'm not doing some white knighting, white ally thing where I say it's mainly white people. I'm saying it because I'm ashamed as a human that 95% of the arrogant, crazy, racist, nutty people are white. And most of them are women. And I love women. And I'm not bashing women. I'm just telling you, it's a fact on the videos. They are crazy. And Owen shot with the crew like five videos that one day. And all of them together have over 20 million views. And then we've got all these other videos. And I'm not bragging about our views. Do you understand the average CNN show has 100,000 viewers? Their top shows have a million a night. We have 50-something million views this week. Four of the videos are over 40 million. But if you add all the others together, it's way more than another 10 million. 50 million views. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back and air this video, it's also posted to Infowars.com. If you get this video out that we're about to air here, I saw this video this morning, and it only had, even though the president had tweeted it out, 500,000 views, and I thought by this afternoon it'd have 5-10 million. It only had like 1.5 million. Ladies and gentlemen, this video of the president that we're about to air on the other side of this break, this sucker needs 500 million views. And by the way, I've made films like Loose Change that got 100+ million views. So we should really be able to do this together. We'll get around the bots. We'll get around the censors. I got a big stack of news admitting how YouTube and Facebook are doing that to myself and Ted Nugent, you name it, because we're winning. We don't give up because they're censoring us. We fight even harder. And I dare them to block, and I dare them to censor this video. I dare them. Because this is so wholesome, it's so good, and it's who President Trump is. It's a compilation of him hugging the little white kids and the black kids and the Hispanic kids and everybody else and how genuine it is. And something the media would never let you see unless it went out on independent media. And it's got a powerful intro where I break down how the globalists are trying to divide us. It's so important. We're going to premiere this video with my intro and outro on the other side. But the video's on Infowars.com, Newswars.com. Get it out now. It's key. It's at Newswars.com.
Relentlessly attacking the power structure. You're listening to Alex Jones.
That's right, waging war on corruption. They want to bring down America. The ghosts of the Republic will rise and give them one hell of a fight. I'm powered by that Republic and all our ancestors. Quite frankly, I can't even handle the energy. There's the article up at Newswars.com. This viral video could save America. Certainly people coming together like this, which is what my life's been like. 99% of the time I've seen people work together and live together and fight together and have success and failure together and have children together. But the media sits there like rubbing salt in a wound and only brings up the evils in our past, nobody else's past, and runs our country down because globalists are conquering America. I need every listener now to get the video that's on Facebook and that's on YouTube. that's at newswars.com that you're about to see and get it out to everyone. The crazy part is every time I ask people to make something go viral, yeah, it'll get a 500,000 views, a million, but I'll just put something out random and it gets 20 million views, 30 million views. And it's in the WikiLeaks that Hillary fears it and the globalists fear it. They fear you when you finally decide to take action. You are the info war. You are the power. They were so close to a race war. Soros was funding it. They were hyping it up. Charlottesville, that whole thing was staged. And then here comes that tragic hurricane and people coming together. Black people saving white people and vice versa. And it blew up in their face. And now they're cynically attacking the president and everybody else and hoping you don't see this video. So get it out. It's been said that the Lord works in mysterious ways, and that's happening right now. The forces of globalism need to divide America before we can be absorbed into a private world government. And to do that, their own white papers admit they've got to create racial and cultural division in the United States so that a powerful central government can control the divided people. But in the last 3 weeks, the enemy has miscalculated. They have openly attempted to launch a race war in America. But Americans came together, and Hurricane Harvey hit the Gulf Coast and became a shining example of humanity being one. Right now, the globalists are on the verge of their biggest defeat ever. But first, we've got to go to the next level and make sure that this video that you are about to see gets out to everyone you know. If this video is seen by every American, I know, I don't think, it will change people's hearts and will heal so much of the racial and cultural division historically in this country, but also the division that MSM, CNN, and MSNBC have been invoking to try to demoralize us. It's in the WikiLeaks that the globalists are hijacking this country and that they want to use culture war to control us. They've lied so much about our president. Let his actions speak for themselves, bringing the jobs back, taking care of the veterans, the VA, and so much more, and lovingly taking care of the people in Houston and seeing us all come together. These are the images that will drive stakes through the hearts of the parasitic elite class that wants to divide and conquer humanity. We all bleed red blood. We all have that American flag. And these images set to Lee Greenwood and God Bless the USA is one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. So please, let's break the spell of racism and division. Let's come together and celebrate the greatest country in the world's history, the United States of America.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart
Isn't about President Trump. This is about the American people coming together, which again, when the chips were down, we see as the case. The parasites that have tried to hijack this country are angry that Trump's coming in and trying to return power back to the U.S. government and back to the people and taking control from these multinationals. That's why it's critical for all of you out there watching and listening to get this video out to everyone you know. Because this is an information war, and we need to bypass MSM to make sure that everybody out there that's drunk the Kool-Aid, drunk the poison of racism, understands that the key to our nation's future and humanity's future is true unity. This is one of the most powerful videos I've ever seen, and I think you agree. If you do agree, help get it out to everyone you know. I'm Alex Jones, and this is the InfoWar.
It really does make me sick to read the WikiLeaks where you've got Hillary and Podesta and high-level psych warfare professors going, we're losing control of the public, so we need culture war. And then the email's back, well, we already have that. Well, we're going to have to intensify it. And they have to get up there on TV and spew the most racist garbage and just badmouth the country and badmouth anybody who's white into basically guilting them into accepting the Democratic Party agenda and then trying to wound the brains of people that aren't, quote, white into believing that they're in this nightmare North Korea when they've got all these opportunities compared to other nations. It's sick. And then misrepresenting what the president does. And it's not that the president's perfect. It's not that I just want to sit here and defend him. But look at how he's surrounded. Look at how he's attacked. Look at what he's going through. That's why we're starting the new morning show and starting Owen's new show Wednesday. And, you know, we're trying to hire more crew and got folks working 18 hours a day some days. That's why I've been up here yesterday and today working because, you know, there's hydrogen bomb tests going on. And the U.S. is getting tactical bombers in place and getting ready for nuclear war. I mean, these are serious times. And we're going to look back on these times as good times. If we go into the really bad times. I don't want that to happen. I want to be engaged as a good person and turn the tide. And I think, thanks to your prayers and support and this great crew and all the other great people across this planet that are awake and praying and taking action, we can turn the tide around. The toll-free number is 877-789-ALEX. That's the Sunday number, 877-789-ALEX. First-time callers, your call's coming up, and a lot of other big breaking news.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
You know what bothers me? It's that I really like factoids, and so I've studied Russia and Switzerland and South Africa and Nigeria and Brazil and Mexico and many other countries, North Korea. And if you get caught in Mexico, you get 6 months to a year hard labor, and you get tortured. And you get money sucked out of you if you're lucky. You get out. And in North Korea, you come in on a tourism visa. They watch everything you say. A government agent follows you with a pad and paper and writes down every word you say and talks to everybody you talk to. Vice has done tours of the country and shows everything they do is track what they ate, when they went to the bathroom, what they did. When you get caught doing something you're not supposed to, taking a photo or something, you're sent to a death camp, and you're sent back to the U.S. when you're brain dead. And then I hear America is this racist dirt hole, and we're not open enough. When we're more open, back when Ellis Island used to keep you for 3 months to make sure you didn't have the bubonic plague or tuberculosis or whatever the case was, now they just let you in. You come here, have your babies for free, whatever. If you try to become a legal citizen, they make it really hard. But they make it really easy to come here and just be here illegally because they want that big underclass they control and exploit. And then they turn around and point at the white population that I guess statistically sometimes, nothing like the Asians, but statistically has some wealth and goes, look, they stole it. You just got here and they're evil white people and They're causing you a problem. Ryan asked Trump to hold off on scrapping DACA, the Dreamer Act. And I get it if people brought somebody here when they were a year old or whatever, they've been here for 20 years, and yeah, okay, and they're Americanized. Why can't they be citizens? Because then people bring their kids just to be born here so they're citizens, and then it's exploited, and the leftists sit there and fill them full of anti-American garbage. And then we have the head of the EU, we'll play the clip in a moment, the vice president of the EU, saying Europe will not stop being diverse. And he says no country will stay the way it was. Well, here's the problem. You're deciding, you're saying it's a program to make Europe non-European. And then the group you bring in against all the polls and the people is unprepared, unprofessional, unskilled, 80%+ military age men, 10 million of them in the last 5 years. I kept saying 5 million for the numbers I had. Earlier this year, they released the numbers. 10 million people the last 5 years brought in by the UN program by Peter Sutherland that heads it up, who said Europe's too white. And you're like, look, I'm not a racist, but when I start hearing something's too white or white people are bad and it's all over the news and white people are getting beat up and attacked and CNN says, oh, poor white people. At a certain point, I'm absolutely sick of it. These are global corporations that don't want any culture in any nation. They want them divided and conquered, just like the Tower of Babel, to control them, and they admit that's the plan. And then they sit there and shake their finger at you, like Stephen King that lives behind a big gate and a big fence with armed guards, but he wants our borders open, or Michael Moore that's got six armed guards and big walls, but he says you should pay for everybody to live in your house. They're just establishment people. George Clooney sold his mansion in England and another one in Eastern Europe because Muslims were overrunning it. He even said it's too dangerous. But while he evacuates areas he called for to be open, after Europe's been invaded hundreds of times by Muslims, and they've run up the white flag and say, it's time for you to invade. We have women. We have everything. It's all free. Come here. While Europe opens its gates through Turkey and through Syria for this to happen, they all live behind big walls. They're hypocrites. They're frauds. Europe will not stop being diverse. Stop being. And then they have all the weird BBC shows that show ancient Romans were black. Ancient Britons were black. Look, here's a Victorian scene of England where half the population is black and Asian. And it's just like it's a crime to have white people even exist when whites are the global minority of 7%. But this is a strategy. Bring in third world populations, hype them up full of all this racial animus and hate, have them ally with the big bureaucracy and the deep state to neutralize the majority indigenous populations. But it's even worse. Have the new minority population embrace socialism, collectivism, corporatism as its mommy, believing that's who butters their bread, so they never adopt the ideas of the West that are countervailing the winds of tyranny and are not comportable or systematically inducive towards tyranny. And that's the plan. That's globalism. That's what they're doing. You can't go to North Korea. You can't go to China as somebody from Africa or somebody from North America. You can't go to China and say, I'm here to have my baby free. I'm here to get welfare. They will throw you in the jail and beat you up and laugh at you. They're hard. They've got suicide nets at their factories, suicide nets in the stairwells. They kill Christians and Buddhists. The Islamists are hard, and the globalists are allied with communists and Islamists and others who are impregnable to all their bleeding heart stuff. But they know Christian Western nations are wide open to it. And they say, you let us have carbon taxes and world government and sexualize your five-year-old, or we're going to call you a racist or a homophobe. And the average American lays on their back and says, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you say. Just wave your magic priest wand and tell me I'm absolved. Tell me I'm trendy. Tell me I'm politically correct. I'll do anything, even to myself and my family, because I want to be accepted by the power structure that's out to destroy me in their own admissions. So when we start the next hour on your phone calls, I'm going to get to that EU bureaucrat statement. You know what? Let's do it now. Here is the vice president of the European Union saying, we're going to Islamify you. Oh, and by the way, they've announced in Sweden, Muslims are allowed to rape. It's their culture. Here it is.
Diversity is now in some parts of Europe seen as a threat. Diversity comes with challenges. But diversity is humanity's destiny.
Totally sick.
There is not going to be, even in the remotest places of this planet, a nation that will not see diversity in its future. Society that is exclusively composed of people from one culture are trying to portray a future based on a past that never existed.
Hit pause.
Therefore, that
notice, a past that never, back it up 5 seconds, please. A past that never existed. That's why they show you in all the BBC shows, everything, like Rome, they're black, it's just half black. Or England, they're like half black. Because or the pyramids, it's white people, black people, you name it. Because nobody had a country, nobody had a culture, because globalism doesn't want to have that in its way. It wants you just to accept the new plastic AI corporate Amazon as your culture, Apple is your culture, suicide nets, forced abortions, forced drugging of employees. It's okay because we're liberal. We're liberal. Give up your culture. Take the mark of the beast. Accept world government. And then these guys all exempt themselves in the EU Commission from taxes, from regulations. They have diplomatic immunity. They're up there like gods telling you you're going to accept it. Here it is.
Portray a future based on a past that never existed.
Oh, yeah, never existed.
Therefore, that future will never be.
Oh, so there was... Pause. They're torturing Winston in 1984, and he goes, Winston, there was never freedom. You never have a mother or father. There was never a family. 2 + 2 never equaled 4. There was never a past where Europe was white. There was never a past where you could own a gun. There was never a past where mothers nursed their babies or No. Babies were always born in a factory. Brave New World. You realize this is all a unified cult telling you what reality is, and all the other people in the crowd know they're priests of power. They all know they're technicians in psych warfare. Let's continue.
We'll be diverse. Like all other parts of the world, we'd be diverse. If we don't get this right, I truly believe Europe will not remain the Europe we've built.
Hit pause again. Japan is 99.9% Japanese. China's 99% Chinese. And they take over their neighbors and make them become Chinese. Mongolia, Tibet, you name it. But then you say, like everywhere else, no, Nigeria's 100% Nigerian. Brazil's Brazilian. It's only Europe, folks. And that's because the power, the wealth, the culture's there. And once the globalists have gotten that, sky's the limit. We're going to finish up with this when we come back in the second hour. We've got the FBI caught under Obama's order, standing down on the Hillary investigation, bombshell, total proof of their criminal activity, admitting to Congress it was all a fake investigation to absolve Hillary Clinton. Mueller and Comey are arch criminals and enemies of every good person, literally. And it's incredible. Stay with us. Second hour, straight ahead. Spread the word.
Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
I'm going to be opening the phones up in the next segment. The toll-free number to join us is going to be posted up on screen in a little while. I'll give that out to you, but I see Zach and Joe and Mad Christian, Mark, Teeth, John, and others patiently holding. We'll get to all of you. But Paul Watson has done a video that I won't have time to play all of today. George Orwell would have supported Antifa. The Huffington Post has come out in a big article. Twitter user School InfoWars editor overclaimed that Orwell rolls in his grave at Antifa. And his point was Antifa had signs up saying, be peaceful, while they were the ones attacking people. So war is peace. But they go on to say, oh, he fought in the Spanish Revolution against Franco, so he's an anti-fascist. if you actually read Down and Out in Paris and his book about Catalonia, and I mean, well, I mean, I've literally read everything Orwell's written publicly. I ended up getting into it back in college, and I read all his books. And obviously, we run InfoWars. And he'd been a Thebian socialist. He turned against it all, gave list of all the socialists and communists he knew in 1948 before he died to the Ministry of Defense so they could pull the agents out of government. And basically 1984 launched the Cold War and launched Winston Churchill when he got back into power's Iron Curtain speeches and the rest of it. So George Orwell was a hardcore anti-communist because he would go out and fight the fascists and then come back and watch the communists having sex with, you know, five women an hour and drinking, fine brandy and caviar and then killing anybody good-looking or smart in the communist ranks because they were threatened by him. He said this is the ultimate class system. These people are worse than the fascists. And he was shot in the throat and almost died fighting the fascists. He wasn't endorsing the fascists. And by the time he worked at MI6 or OSS at the time in World War II as a propagandist against the Nazis, he just recognized we're fighting one evil and we're another evil. And he wrote 1984 and he wrote a bunch of essays and books explaining 1984 is about Stalin and communism and how it's the ultimate evil. And how he thought they would make it more sophisticated in the future and just get rid of fascists and communists and have a technocracy. Now, if you want to be a real intellectual, you'd know what Eric Blair actually said. You wouldn't just sit there and go, he fought against fascists. And then they don't even in the article say where he fought. They don't even say he fought the Spanish Civil War. Ernest Hemingway was in the Spanish Civil War. And he was a classical liberal. So up front, they thought socialists and stuff meant well because they were fighting fascists. They believed in the little guy. They had bleeding hearts. But he wrote For Whom the Bell Tolls about stories and composites he reported on while reporting for major newspapers in that conflict in the late 1930s. And Ernest Hemingway, read For Who the Bell Tolls. It's all about the dirtbag communist losing the war and rounding people up and just drinking alcohol and having sex all day instead of actually doing something, and how they get the money from the poor farmers that would give everything they had to the communists to beat the fascists, and then they would just give them a new form of socialism, a new form of communalism, a new form of feudalism, basically. So I've actually read For Whom the Bell Tolls 3 times. I've actually read 1984 7 times. I've actually read To Kill an Elephant. I've actually read Down and Out in Paris. I've actually read it all and understood it. And your great socialist, Thebian socialist, number two in the Thebian Socialist Society, guru, helped launch the Cold War against communism. So stick that in your pipe.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
When I was young, I was the nicest guy I knew. I thought I was the chosen one.
We're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And we've launched The Real News with Evan Knight, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. On Wednesday, we're going to kick off the new transmission right in the middle of the week with Owen Schroyer. That's going to be the war room with a whole collection of experts and analysts who are always right by the phone or right by their computer to be called right when something breaks. Experts on national security, the economy, firefighters, police, paramilitary, school teachers, professors, nuclear physicists. We're creating a list for David's show and for Owen's show that just right as stuff breaks, we call them. Same thing here. This is InfoWars Live. You know, when I started syndicated radio 20 years ago, they said, you need to be your name for the Arbitron, for the ratings. But really, this broadcast is InfoWars. That's what it is. I'm Alex Jones. And I do the show here weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then we have Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., which was the best thing I ever did 11 years ago. I said, let me give stations a live taste of what they might be scared of during the week. And we went from like 100 and something affiliates to over 200 affiliates very, very quickly doing that, giving folks a taste. And so we're going to have some best ofs of the weekday shows as well for stations to get a taste. But I want to go live at least 20 hours a day by the middle of next year. So we're talking about 9 months from now. I'd like to have folks on from 5 a.m. in the morning until midnight. And it's not that I'm in competition with Coast to Coast AM or don't want to be in competition with them. I'm just going to leave that to George Norrie and Coast to Coast and the great work they're doing. I was just on his show a few weeks ago. We're gonna leave that there, and you know we think we even can't compete with him. So we're going to leave that open. But we're going to be here 20 hours a day live is our goal, so that as things break and as things happen, we're kind of like a live radio / TV show Twitter feed, where it's all right there. And that's why I was here Saturday and I was here today. And I'm not bragging about that. Let me tell you something. You get the Secretary of Defense saying we're getting ready to militarily strike North Korea if they do one more thing. You've got them testing hydrogen bombs and threatening to attack Seoul preemptively or Tokyo. I mean, this is incredible. There's the Guardian's headline. North Korea threats to U.S. will be met with massive military response, says Defense Secretary Mattis. We are in a serious situation. Let's put that on screen one more time. North Korea threats. See, he's telling them. He's been letting them threaten and been saying, let's have meetings, and been trying to, you know, get the hawks to back down. And now Mattis goes, okay, any more threats, that means any more talk, any more missiles, any more shooting around over the coast of Japan, any more. We're just locked and loaded. And now Putin's come out and said the U.S. is getting ready to strike them and has signaled that Russia isn't going to stand down. And look, if North Korea was threatening to attack Russia, I would support Russia attacking them preemptively, because if somebody's got a gun pointed at you saying we're going to attack you, I don't blame them. But again, I don't want an escalation. I don't want a war. I don't want dead North Korean soldiers, even though they're a bunch of brainwashed parasites feeding on their own people. I want to see North Koreans free. I have empathy for them. Just because they're in a horrible situation, I don't feel like I'm some type of elitist who feels good about himself. I feel bad. I don't need to play the race card here. My sister's adopted from Korea, a ghost child, a woman gets pregnant out of wedlock, the child's not even recognized, they're thrown on the street. Beautiful, wonderful person, wonderful human soul. I love her. She works here at InfoWars, does a great job, getting married soon, love her man-to-be, her fiancé, great guy. I don't need to sit here and say I'm not racist, because I love all humans. I don't like people that are racist against me because I'm a creature of the Ice Age, horrible creature associated with technology and science, horrible creature associated with prosperity, horrible creature associated with virtue, who can be bullied into doing whatever I'm told if somebody tells me I'm a bad person, because there's virtue in all of the human family. But we're so close to oblivion right now. And there are a lot of worlds in the universe, you know, you just know, that made it to where we're at and destroyed themselves. And I'm a fan of humanity. And I want us to survive and make it. We're going to go to break and come back and take your calls, but just briefly, because CJ's pointing this out. I do like one plug an hour when I do it. Other talk radio, it's every segment, and I don't blame them. A lot of talk radio is going bankrupt. It's been a rough economy. Thank God new jobs numbers are the best they've been in 15 years. Small business numbers, the best since 1984. Globalists are just so upset, screaming Trump's a racist as he hugged and kissed over 100 black babies down there. Never saw Obama do that. They kept the crowds back. We got a lot of products at InfoWarsStore.com. This sale's going to have to end in the next few days because we're going to sell out of Super Male Vitality. I was like, why are we running ads for Super Female Vitality? It's about to sell out. Super Male Vitality is concentrated, cold-pressed herbs that you should need to experience for yourself. But regardless of your support in the broadcast, it's 57% off right now. You can get it combo with X2, the good halogen, the purest, cleanest, deep earth iodine that we've been able to find. It's amazing. You can get that at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139 for 57% off as well. But it's going to end in the next 48 hours because we don't get more of it until late October, early November. And even at this sale, it means if I sell at a regular price, it's going to sell in a few weeks. So we're gonna end that sale in the next few days. And again, X2 is so amazing. Try it for yourself. Consult a physician. Maybe take lower dosages at first because it's really amazing. And the detox most folks go through in about 3 weeks doesn't feel too well for a couple days. Feel like a mule kicked me in the head. But after that, it's like when you're carrying one of your kids on your shoulders and then you're going up a hill. And once you take them off, you feel like you're flying. It's kind of like that, but kind of 2, 3, 4 weeks in, you kind of have this detox. Most people do. And then as your body kind of shifts off using bad halogens in your glands and shifts into good ones. This is how I personally understand it. Redo your own research. This is my personal testimony. Then it's like coming out of a fog. The problem is you start using it as a crutch. But iodine's key, whether it's super male or whether it's X2 or whether it's Biotrue Selenium, they're all 57% off right now individually or with the combo. We've never offered sales like that. We had our biggest overall sales of total number of items last month and a half. That ended a week ago. This is the new targeted sale. Never 57% off. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. But whatever you do, just spread the articles and the videos at NewsWars.com, our new big site that loads really fast on your phones. It's a lightweight site. By lightweight in a good way, it's really not a lot of graphics, really clean. NewsWars.com. I want to thank folks for their support. Spread the word about NewsWars. And I see callers calling in about HAARP and need to pray for the president and the central bank and Congress. And I see John and I see Zach calling in about North Korea. And it's okay. The other callers will go to you. But I want to talk to callers about North Korea. How big a threat is this? Where do you see this going? What do you think we should do? 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-ALEX is the number. Let's go out to break with this clip. We're going to break in about a minute and a half. But let's go out to break with Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch. Huge developments where Comey knew the Clintons were guilty, already certified that he wasn't going to prosecute him when he did the interview for public consumption. Caught in amazing fraud. This is so big. Here it is.
Remember when former FBI Director James Comey let Hillary Clinton off the hook in the email investigation?
Well, now two Republican senators are claiming that Comey was ready to clear Clinton before the investigation was over, even drafting an exoneration statement months beforehand. Here to weigh in is the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton. Tom, so we're going to, here's a little bit of the letter that both Senators Grassley and Graham sent to the FBI, and they pointed this out. It says, it appears that in April or early May of 2016, Mr. Comey had already decided he would issue a statement exonerating Secretary Clinton. That was long before FBI agents finished their work. To your average American, this looks like a system that is rigged to let her off the hook no matter what.
Exactly. It was written before he had interviewed, or the FBI and Justice Department had interviewed Hillary Clinton and 16 other witnesses, including her IT aides, her chief of staff, virtually anyone of importance in the investigation, and explains why a lot of those folks got those controversial immunity agreements.
Absolutely. They absolved them before they did the show interviews. More of that straight ahead. But first, your phone calls. Spread the word about the live show on local stations or Infowars.com/show.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
Infowars.com/show. NewsWars.com. PrisonPlanet.com. You're the power of InfoWars. People call in thanking me all the time, and I'm like, you look in the mirror, you're the reason we're here. Look, we've got more than 15 videos or more I saw this week with more than a million views. Rarely do we have 4 or 5 videos in a week that all have 10 million views or more. And my frustration is they're important videos that got all those views, but they're not as important as Trump and the hurricane video we've got of him hugging all these kids and people and the love fest that went on. It just unifies the country. It's a salve on a wound, not salt. And, you know, it went up 2 hours ago and only has 37,000 views. I mean, it needs 5 million views. It's just powerful. It's at NewsWars.com. Please, 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 please get it out. It's so important. And it's the real Trump. I'm not going to get into it. I know the secrets and all about Trump from my sources. And he hates bullies. He hates the big guy. He hates the establishment. He really cares about the general public, women, children, quote, minorities, you name it. And he gets energized by the crowds and the public when everybody else is demonizing him and attacking him. And Mark Dice put out some really funny tweets where he's hugging a black baby. It's like, oh, Trump's choking a black baby, or he's handing somebody food, like Trump's taking food away from somebody. But that's what the media does. He's like, horrible white supremacists, horrible bad people, and the Antifa, too, out there attacking their bad people, too. Oh, my gosh, you didn't. No, you only. We forced the Democrats to now admit they're evil. They were listed as terrorists today. So I'm going to go to your phone calls. Now, I said I'd talk to folks about North Korea because it's the big enchilada. But I'll talk to everybody. Zach and Joe and Mad Christian and Mark and Keith and John and Philip and Chris and Sean and Deborah. And if you're mad, it's fine. Just back off from your phone so it doesn't distort it. And don't cuss, because we've got a delay. We got to hit the delay once. It takes 10 seconds to build back up. Somebody cusses, hang up on them, including guests, because I've been on the air 20 years. We've had a few of the cuss words get through on our stations. And I promised one station last week in California, I said, they cuss, they're off, because they know what they're doing. They cuss. And they wait 20 seconds before it's built back up or whatever, or right after they do it again. So you want to get hung up on? YouTube and folks and Facebook will still see you cussing on the streams. The thing is, we're under FCC rules. We're held under a microscope. Keep your potty mouth to a zero. And mine too. I get upset. I've gotten so upset I've cussed before. Thing is, they've got a delay in there. I don't do it very often. But, you know, sometimes I just can't handle it. And so I understand, but just don't do it. Gosh, I want to go to your calls, but man, it's come out that they gave the Clintons immunity and said they wouldn't be prosecuted before they did the interviews, so they did them for public consumption. Man, that's fraud by Comey. He's such a dirty criminal, and he knows he is, so he wants to change the subject to Trump being one, and Mueller, oh, what a crook. Oh, and the president's crime is 1.6 million new jobs and $500 billion in new overall infrastructure investment and $4 trillion in the stock market. And our own media rooting for North Korea against the president is just so crazy. It's so crazy now. I don't even know what to do anymore. That Sessions and Hillary, Deborah wants to talk about, Sean wants to talk about North Korea, Chris wants to talk about North Korea, Philip wants to talk about North Korea, John wants to talk about North Korea, Keith wants to talk about HAARP, Sam wants to talk about need to pray for Trump, I agree. Praying just gets us in line with God. That's what it's all about, because God's free will. We got to say, God, we're here. We want to interface with you. And that ends up chain reaction, giving us the data, the connection, the discernment that we need. Zach in Tampa, Joe in Indiana, Mad Christian. We're going to get to all of you. Who's up first? Who's been holding the longest here? Zach, the Lego Maniac from Tampa. You're on the air about North Korea. Go ahead.
How you doing, Alex? It's great to be back on, and I just wanted to say greetings from CENTCOM in beautiful Tampa, Florida. I just wanted to connect some dots from a military intelligence perspective when it comes to this North Korea issue, which really is a Clinton-Cheney-Obama strategic patience problem issue. This has been going on for decades through these administrations, and now we have a president ready to deal with it. What we see going on right now is we have to realize that we have to look at this through a art of the deal, the apprentice lens. Trump is using Tillerson and Haley in these diplomatic capacities to tie up any loose ends that we could salvage when it comes to what we did diplomatically with this debacle of strategic patience. So he's getting everything we could get done with our partners which surround it, but he's being forced to a limit now that quite frankly has triggered the defensive kinetic algorithms within our military, and there's no going back at this point. it's brilliant from a diplomatic point of view, but it's very troubling from a military point of view, and just us as a humanity. This is very dire.
Well, the big question is, as I said, are China and North Korea going to stand down? A, will there be a strike? B, will China and North Korea stand, or China and Russia stand down? And then the other big question is, will the U.S. strike enough to decapitate the regime so that he can't wreak havoc?
The answers to all those are hopefully yes. That's the plan here. So what you see Trump doing, which is brilliant because he's not showing his hand. You have to realize this is his first year. And if you read The Art of the Deal, this is kind of what he does. The first year is all about salvage. The second year is all about savage. So he's doing what he can. He's putting us in the best possible situation here. But he's getting the military leaders in place to make this kinetic movement, because the troop recalls that have already been put in place, the things that have been triggered here, there's just no going back, regardless of who was in office. But we have to give a lot of credit to Trump in tandem with his military leaders, because how this is going to be looked at in many years from now is going to be brilliant. Right now, it's kind of confusing what's going on. Does he know what he's doing? Ladies and gentlemen, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Well, no, he's already gotten China and Russia, who've never backed off on a strike on Korea, to signal that they're going to stand down. I mean, they basically decried North Korea. They've signaled they're going to step back. Putin signaled that the big strike's coming. Is that not another warning to North Korea?
It absolutely is a warning to North Korea. And this is, they're at the point of no return. Again, like I said, the defensive kinetic algorithms have already been triggered. There's just no going back at this point. That's how war games go. But the public should not be surprised, or people should not be surprised. Look at his television show, The Apprentice, which is loosely based off The Art of the Deal. Each week, you fire an able-bodied individual who just wasn't quite able to do the job. So they criticize him for all these White House firings. But this was par for the course. This is brilliant. He's using them diplomatically for what they're worth, and he is going to act in his agenda at a strategic and high point in the battle. So this is.
But the question is, North Korea thinks they're being belligerent with the old system of appeasement. Don't they understand that the noose is being tied around their neck?
We have to realize that, you know, who is North Korea and what is North Korea? We're not seeing actual press conferences like other legitimate countries.
Hold on, finish your point, Zach. This is important on the other side. We'll talk about when this strike may be coming. Can it be averted? Will China and Russia stand down?
Sound more like everyone else than anyone else. Clone.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. The Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, I got like 15 callers on the board. They're all amazing, I'm sure. And Zach's called in with good info before, but I don't just go off what he says he's doing. I've been telling you what the Pentagon sources I have are saying, what's coming out in the news weeks or months after I tell you. And they've been told, just be ready to hit North Korea. It's on. The policy of strategic patience is over. And I remember Zach calling in 6 months ago, months before they came out and said, the policy of strategic patience is over. So Zach clearly... he's talked about it on air. He's out of the military now, but he has his sources there. And the point is, it's on, because Kim Jong-un and his dad were bad, but they were under the control of China. Even Russia and China are backing off because Kim Jong-un is believing he's in power. But you were saying, Zach, who's really in control of Kim Jong-un from your sources? Because you've got Mattis and you've got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Dumford, and others saying, basically, one more threat, we're going to attack you. But don't worry, we won't totally annihilate your country, is the quote. That's the actual threat. Is the only way, from my military studies, to deal with a militarized state like this, you've got to hit all their targets, and only tactical nuclear weapons are going to do that. So if you don't decapitate them, they're not giving up. It's not like Iraq or something. This is a real cult of communism with heavy weapons, don't you have to destroy them all with nuclear weapons right up front?
Yeah, that's conventional wisdom, but let's remember two things right off the top. You have Trump putting out a strategic tweet saying, fire and fury like the world has never seen. And then you have Kellyanne Conway doing the rounds in the media this morning on the Sunday shows saying, you know, we're not going to televise or put our plan out there, you know, beforehand. Who knows? You've alluded to, and military members understand the type of technology that we have. If it's nuclear, it will be limited and it will be strategic. It will be done.
Sure, but it's well known. There's all sorts of particle beams. There's all sorts of radiation weapons.
Fire and fury like the world has never seen. Very telling. So we know they exist. They've just never been used in conventional warfare because we haven't had a capable enemy. So, and Kellyanne Conway is doing the round saying, we're not going to put out what we're going to do. It's going to happen. And you're going to get a press conference on it when it's all said and done. And we're sending troops to the area to contain it. The South Korean troops are going to be willing and ready. And it's going to be a massive effort to take in North Korean refugees in this plan because that's their only path forward. We could back them militarily, but the Chinese and the Russians are worried about these migrants coming over who know nothing and are brainwashed. There's a contingency plan in place, and it's bigger than everything. It's not like, you know, these things were thought of 1 month, 2 months, whatever, but even our own media was tricked by Hillary Clinton not being elected.
Let me ask you this. Why did the globalists then give them the nuclear weapons and the missiles? I get to use it as a crisis and excuse for the U.S. to be there, and then now the Frankenstein they built is going crazy.
It was going crazy, but it was going completely perfect. It was going completely to plan. They had the Clintons in, they had Cheney in, they had Obama in, and by all conventional wisdom, as far as the mainstream media is concerned,
it was a sellout of America. North Korea would be used as the chess piece, the pawn for us to lose Asia.
And they vastly underestimated the win of Donald Trump. And now you have a guy not only who was an underdog who won, but who's a guy who's not going to put up with it, who told Jeb Bush in one of the debates about 9/11. So he knows the deep state. He knows what.
Oh, you noticed Jeb dropped out the next day.
Yeah, it's no coincidence. So when you see these White House appointees leaving and the people criticizing it, it's not. It's strategic. We're using them diplomatically for what we could salvage. First year salvage, second year savage. In second year, you're going to see him coming through. He even hinted to it in some of your interviews when he says, you know, not in the first couple months, but give me some time and I'll get back on and you'll be very proud of me. And from a military perspective, it's not like we're just operating in a vacuum and we don't know what's going on, okay? Listen,
well, you know, it's that interview and our private discussions that freaked the globalists out so much, because it's not like he realized who our audience was. He was like reporting to the audience that he was reporting for duty. That's what was so powerful about it.
So now what we have is individuals who are trying to wipe their hands clean and run away. But what we still have as a result of that is a out of control, psychotic, just brain dead, brainwashed North Korea, which is a reality, and they will be used as the biggest suicide mission on the planet. They think suicide bombers and trucks running into crowds are a problem. If they trigger this thing, we are going to respond with fire and fury, like was spoke about by the president. But it's going to be
Suicide mission. The South Koreans admit they've got a huge group of troops ready to go in physically to all the bases. So I guess they've got troops ready for a suicide mission.
They're ready for it. We're ready for it. You have to read into the words fire and fury like the world has never seen. So there's a lot of people who, and I see them doing the Sunday shows talking about nuclear fallout and the Mahler soul. Listen, nobody knows what we have. This stuff is classified and our military is capable. Make no mistake, it will be deadly. It will be bloody. But, this is literally the beginning of a revolution by all, you know, stretches of the imagination and conventional.
Well, what do you make of the Russians and Chinese starting to back down? Do you think they will back down?
Well, like we spoke about many months ago, with the deal that was signed in Syria, we gave Putin Syria, and we're both handling ISIS.
The deal's already been made. Thanks for the call. Great points. I got to get to other callers because they're all. But here is Mattis and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the Secretary of Defense, just a few hours ago. Here it is.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We had a small group national security meeting today with the president and the vice president. About the latest provocation on the Korean Peninsula. We have many military options, and the president wanted to be briefed on each one of them. We made clear that we have the ability to defend ourselves and our allies, South Korea and Japan, from any attack, and our commitments among the allies are ironclad. any threat to the United States or its territories, including Guam, or our allies, will be met with a massive military response, a response both effective and overwhelming. Kim Jong-un should take heed of the United Nations Security Council's unified voice. All members unanimously agreed on the threat North Korea poses, and they remain unanimous in their commitment to the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Because we are not looking to the total annihilation of a country, namely North Korea. But as I said, we have many options to do so. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Secretary Mattis, do you believe they've got a...
So that is a major escalation in rhetoric from a guy that had been trying to have olive branches. Let's go to Sean in California on North Korea's nukes. Got about a minute and a half, Sean. Go ahead.
Hi, how's it going, Alex?
Good, brother.
It's a pleasure to speak to you. Well, I mean, I got to tell you, I think that the president's handling it with, I guess, the best notions that he could. I mean, if they do try to do anything crazy or have any sort of rhetoric that they're going to bomb us, I feel that he has to do it with crazy fire, as he's saying.
Yeah, it's a giant armed camp. You have to wipe them out if you do hit them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you leave at least one that just has just the ability to keep, you know, progressing what his ideology was, I mean, we're going to have just another whole problem.
Well, you got mobile trucks with medium-range missiles everywhere. They're going to start hitting South Korea and Japan, and the global stock market's going to tank right there. So I'd love another communist nightmare that's been wound up and our own government arming it, the damn commies that we've got burrowing into our government, just another sickening, you know, America can't have too much power. Let's prop up some communists. That'll be a counterbalance because communism's so sexy. Great point, Sean. We're going to come back, and I'm going to rampage. I'm going to just shut up your comments. Boom, 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 boom. And tomorrow and Tuesday and right through, we're going to have open phones because it's just all kicking off. News Wars. Newswars.com is the new site. It loads really fast. It's an updated modern version. Chris,
live,
get ready.
From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Chris in Indiana. Chris in Indiana, we're going to you right now. Go ahead on North Korea. Go ahead.
What's up, Alex? Hey, been listening to you for 7 years. How you doing today in Texas?
I'm doing all right. You've been very patient putting up with me. Thank you.
Oh, no. Hey. Happy Labor Day weekend. I was just going to say about George Orwell. I got a list of books right here. I got them in my hand right now. People have to stop. I mean, don't stop. Read 1984 Animal Farm. But George Orwell, the man, Eric Blair, has so many more books than that. And it's called The Road to Wigan Pier, Homage to Catalonia, coming up for air. Burmese Days, and my favorite, Keep the Expeditra Flying. Man, in North Korea, damn, man, that guy is going off. I agree immediately. Hey,
No, but I agree with you about, but Orwell clearly became a leading anti-communist, anti-socialist before he died, saying he learned it was just as bad as fascism. So the Huffington Post, from your own research, would you agree is wrong, claiming he would be an Antifa today?
Of course. Of course he would be Antifa. I mean, Homage to Catalonia. You read that book. I've called in before, like 2 years ago. I said that he was...
I remember reading it, the way he talks about communists and socialists and how he realized the fascists were evil and then he was working for evil.
Exactly. But, I mean, you talk about, you read that book, just people. When you're talking about George Orwell, you were talking about it earlier. I was, like, in tears because so many people are talking about, like, oh, Animal Farm, 1984. George Orwell wrote so many more books than that. Like, so many people associate those.
I know, I got addicted with his writing. I think I read everything he ever wrote. You know, a lot of them are essays, so there's like 7 or 8 readers out that have got his stuff. You go to Paul Watson's channel right now, he's got the George Orwell would have supported Antifa. He turns it into a total joke, but that's what the scumbags over at the Huffington Post, the George Soros rear end, are saying. Thank you, Chris. Okay, who is up next here? Philip? Let's go to Philip, calling from Naperville, Illinois. Philip, you're on the air worldwide.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. It's an honor and pleasure to speak with you. I've been trying to reach you since 2007.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, so go ahead.
I want to first start by saying I'm one of Trump's rescues, shall we say. During the Haitian earthquake, I went to Haiti to try to lend aid with my volunteer ambulance corps and wound up being airlifted by the president when he wasn't president.
Amazing.
That was story was told on Breitbart. My wife is completely unemployed right now. She's a victim of the H-1B visa program. And my health is a wreck. Where do we go with that, you know? Where do you go with that? You know, I'm in rehab now for medical reasons. I go to a medical rehab.
Well, you know, Trump's trying to get the economy going, 3.0 growth rate. I mean, definitely going in the right direction. What is it like for you in economic troubles to see the globalists, the Republican establishment, the Democrats doing everything they can to try to block it?
Well, I'm very angry, but the main reason for the call is to talk about North Korea, certainly, and to talk about what we could do to better this nation.
Sure. Where do you think North Korea is going?
I think what's going to happen is China has to get off the pot, shall we say. I think Russia has to take a few steps back, say this man is a despot.
I think that's already happening.
I think, at first I thought we were going to have to lose Guam, but I'm not at that point anymore. I think in another few days it'll be right on the diplomatic front. I really do.
No, I hear you. Let's hope that's the case. I mean, I hope North Korea backs down and stops trying to nuke its neighbors. Thank you, Philip. Good to hear from you. God bless. Okay, let's continue here. Joe wants to talk about Congress threat. Mad Christian wants to talk about central bank. We got more Korea calls, too. I said I'm taking Korea calls, so I'll go to the others in a minute. But John in Wisconsin on North Korea and the hydrogen bomb test they did yesterday and their threats to blow up Tokyo or Seoul, South Korea. Again, are we supposed to just roll over to this? And why do the Clintons and the deep state give them the reactors to create the material to create the bombs? What do you think, John?
I think we should get China and Russia and Japan and South Korea to form a coalition and go in there and take them out without using nukes, because nukes is not the answer. It causes too many problems. If you use nukes on North Korea, you're going to lose South Korea. And who knows what all that radiation is going to do to the reactors in Japan that are not working.
I hear you, but there's other weapons, and they've got low-yield weapons that, you know, dissipate pretty quickly, but I hear you. It's measuring how bad's the damage if you just do a normal strike and then the North attacks the South and then kills millions versus knocking their military out. But, you know, the U.S. is the only folks that have dropped atomic bombs on people, so people shouldn't question our resolve. Thank you, John. It is an amazing time, and I want to hear from all of you. I'm moving quickly. I apologize for that. Let's go ahead and talk to Mad Christian, then Joe in Indiana. Mad Christian in the great volunteer state of Tennessee. You're on the air.
Alex, how you doing, my friend?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, first, let me congratulate you on your newborn. That's good stuff right there, is it not?
Absolutely. I have got three children. My previous wife, she divorced me, left me. I've got a great, wonderful wife, and I got a new baby, and it's a real blessing. It really makes you mad about nuclear war, though, when you got a baby.
Well, that's really why I was calling in. There's no nuclear war. Everybody needs to chill out. Kim just needs to take his central bank. Then we can move on to Syria and Iran, and everything will be fine.
So you think of Kim Jong, and I get you. We got globalists that are bad and corporate systems that are corrupt, but North Korea is its own little special demon. I mean, I've really, like, our elites want to be evil. Kim Jong-un is what they want to grow up to be. I mean, he's a real little bastard.
Without a central bank, though.
It is true the globalists down the road want to conquer that place, but what I'm getting at is Kim Jong-un, I mean, North Korea is a horrible place.
I agree, but I think they will take their central bank and North and South Korea will reunite, and then they'll have the greatest navy the world's ever seen for the coming invasion of America with the Chinese and the Russians.
We'll see what happens. I appreciate your call, Mad Christian. Okay, let's go to Indiana. Let's talk to Joe in the Indiana area. Go ahead, evil flyover country Midwesterner. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. You're doing a fine job presenting the North Korea problem. Personally, I believe that it's not as big a threat as what we have here at home. As you have well reported, we have major government figures saying we need to kill the president and overthrow the government. That's the greater threat right now. And I do not see Jeff Sessions doing his job, arresting people for threatening the life of the president. And you know that going back as far as you can think, anytime anybody threatened the president...
I've never heard of anything like this. You've got public conspiracy to kill the president to create confidence, and they say a whole plan's happening the next month. I agree, it's totally insane. I don't want military coup. I don't want to arrest these people. But you can't have them on CNN with former CIA deputy directors in assassination teams saying, we're going to kill the president. It's like saying, we're going to kidnap your kids and molest them. Somebody's got to do something.
Exactly right. And what we're dealing with here is a cult of Judas people. These people are the worst Judases ever. And they
no, I agree. The whole country surrounded. All the president's doing is trying to restart our heart. And they're trying to stop him when all he's done is good.
I have the answer for him, how you fight this and rally the base and really activate the info war. And that would be for him to target all these Judases and say, we're not waiting until 2018 or beyond. We're going to have recall elections now.
I agree. That's the peaceful way is for patriots to start recalls. It always starts with the grassroots. Because they're calling for violence, they're calling for war. What do we do peacefully to stop these people? I agree. I'm going to announce it tomorrow, tonight. Yeah, I agree with you. God bless you. Last caller. I'm sorry to the other callers, Mark and Keith and others. Call me back. Weekday transmission starts tomorrow, 11 a.m. Yeah, we got to start recalls. We got to go after the John McCains, the all of them. We got to go after them because they are out of their minds. Pray for peace on the Korean Peninsula. Pray for world peace, period, and hopefully I'll see you back tomorrow. Great job to the crew. I'm Alex Jones signing off. Newswars.com.